Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Blast from the past right there. It's fun to be reminded of my opinions going back a few years, and I still feel that way about the move the Niners made to get Jimmy Garoppolo in what was his final year with the Patriots. He wasn't going to stay the backup for Tom Brady. He was going to find a job on his own. He was going to walk as a free agent, so the Patriots needed to trade him to get something in return for him, and in the final hour, you saw Bill Belichick ship him to San Francisco, and Kyle Shanahan finally had his franchise QB. And at the time, a deal that was worth $27.5 million annually was a lot for Jimmy Garoppolo. And when he's healthy, they win at a pretty high percentage. They win at a pretty high rate. They got to the Super Bowl with a really solid season from Jimmy Garoppolo. The issue, of course, has been multiple injuries. He wasn't the only one in 2020, but that limited them a ton. And so we know they're about to draft a quarterback. Who will it be? And do you believe the buzz that the Patriots are still trying to trade for Jimmy G to bring him back to New England, and that the Niners would actually go with a rookie starter? That's the part I don't believe. I have no trouble believing that the Patriots are trying to rest Garoppolo away from the Niners to bring him back because they believe he's a better option than what they've got on their roster right now. But I don't believe that the Niners have designs on going with a rookie. They've got a ready-made contender. As they get all these players back, specifically on defense, they've got a team that can compete even in the stacked NFC. So why? Why would you hand the ball over to a rookie? That's not part of the plan. If they have to, because Garoppolo's injured, okay. And we know that part of drafting a QB and moving up to get the guy they want or one of the five guys they like is because they need some insurance. They're worried about not having insurance when Garoppolo, or if Garoppolo, gets injured. But this reminds me a little bit of the situation with the Seahawks and the Bears. Well, hell yeah. The Bears wanted to get Russell Wilson away from Seattle, but Seattle wasn't trading. Heck yeah, the Broncos would have liked to trade for Deshaun Watson. So would the Panthers. But the Texans weren't moving him. It takes two to tangle. It takes two franchises to trade. And yeah, the Patriots are interested in a quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. That would put them ahead of the game as opposed to starting fresh with a rookie. But that doesn't mean the Niners are going to flip him. It takes two to make a thing go right. Good morning to you. It's draft day. Not the movie, but the actual draft day. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Oh my gosh, I'm tired of talking about what might happen in the draft, but we got a few hours left to do it to see if we were anywhere close to correct. Actually, speaking of that, I have the results of the after hours mock draft where you made the picks sitting in front of me here because I think it'll be funny to compare as we watch the picks unfold. I have no illusions that we'll be anywhere close to what actually happens. Though I will say this, over the last few hours, the pendulum in San Francisco has swung toward one Trey Lance. So it's in turn been Mac Jones, then Justin Fields, then Mac Jones, now Trey Lance. If nothing else, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have done a great job with smoke and mirrors. They've done a great job blinding the rest of the NFL and all of its fans. But we do have a good portion of the quarterback picture in place for 2021. So we're asking you on this edition of the show, and I love the variety of answers we've seen so far. Which NFL team has upgraded the most this offseason at the QB position? And yes, you can include the Jaguars. I would say include the Jets, except we don't definitively know who they're drafting. Producer Dave wants them to take Justin Fields. I think I would laugh so hard I'd fall out of my chair if they took Justin Fields, because I will be posted up in the comfy chair with my notes and my laptop and, of course, my TV in front of me watching NFL Network come 8 o'clock Eastern time. Producer Dave, what would you do if the Jets, Robert Saleh, Joe Douglas, faked out everyone and took Justin Fields? Or if they took Trey Lance and not anybody but Zach Wilson, what would you do?
I'd hit everyone with a big I told you. No, I wouldn't hit him with the I told you so. I would just laugh. Honestly, I would just sit there, take it all in, and probably just start laughing hysterically. Because everybody, this is what's so funny, everybody thinks they know. We know. It's a certainty.
I know that you know that we know that you know that I know
that, that nobody knows anything. And I think that they're just sitting back. It's kind of like the Russell Wilson situation we were going to talk about in a little while with Pete Carroll. They know the truth. We don't need to say anything publicly. That's why Kyle Shanahan is doing all of these things.
I hate to break it to you, but if we don't say anything publicly, we're probably out of jobs. So we have to talk about it. That's the deal. And I'm sure they're amused by it. How many times did Pete Carroll and John Schneider mention the media blitz, the media storm that followed Russell Wilson's comments? And I just kept saying to you, I don't mind saying I told you so. I told you over and over, take note, neither Pete nor John has come out and said a word. They're not trading Russell Wilson. So the Jets, everyone thinks they know. They're locked in on Zach Wilson. And maybe they are, because a lot of times these guys are, in fact, revealing their plans behind the scenes to people who then turn around and leak it to media sources. And it makes the rounds. But the issue is, this time of the year, you've got multiple people leaking multiple tidbits of information to multiple sources so that the market is flooded with all kinds of info, most of which is not true. So I would laugh so hard that I'm going to make sure I'm not eating or drinking when the Jets pick. Because if they do something other than draft Zach Wilson, I might pee my pants. I mean, that would be hysterical.
I'm with you on that one. I wouldn't know what else to do but laugh. I mean,
yes.
While I want Justin Fields, everyone in the world thinks they're going to take Zach Wilson. Joe Douglas is probably sitting in his house right now or whenever he wakes up and just thinking,
jealousy.
I already know who I'm taking.
It's a good feeling to have. Yeah, it's a good feeling to have. Now, does that apply to the Niners? There's the question. Does Kyle Shanahan, does John Lynch know, and the rest of us, we're just kind of hanging around, drooling and wondering. Okay, so Jets and Niners, at this point, we don't know. But if you want to put them in the equation, okay. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is not a change at starter necessarily, but a lot of you believe they will not have Jimmy G as their starter come the fall. But here are the teams that we know that you know, that we all know, that everybody knows, are changing QBs. The Colts, for sure, because Phillip Rivers retired and they traded for Carson Wentz. Is that the biggest upgrade, the biggest improvement so far this offseason? The Rams traded for Matthew Stafford because Sean McVay always has to have new toys. The Lions, in exchange, get Jared Goff. And Dan Campbell and the Lions front office, they like him. They're excited about Jared Goff as their starter, as opposed to starting completely fresh with a rookie. The Bears, well, they tried a bunch of different things like Russell Wilson and couldn't get him. So instead, they take Andy Dalton. The Panthers, we know they traded for Sam Darnold and just yesterday flipped Teddy Bridgewater to Denver. So is it the Broncos? Don't actually know who's going to be the starter, have no idea what the Broncos are doing, except they did get him for almost nothing, dirt cheap. So I guess you take him if a team wants to offer him. I don't know. What impact does this have on Drew Lock, his confidence, his development? We've seen where young quarterbacks can get rattled by this type of a move and it derails them. Now, I would say if you are determined or if you have the goods to be a long-term successful starter in the NFL, you can't be afraid of competition, but he's still young. And how many times have the Broncos attempted to make a trade for a quarterback in the last 6 weeks? So he is already recognizing that they're not sold on him, regardless of what they say publicly. The Jaguars, we know they're getting Trevor Lawrence. Is it Washington? Ryan Fitzpatrick. The beard. Which team has made the greatest upgrade, the largest jump in terms of talent, leadership, winning potential, whatever it is, however you want to measure it? Which team has made the greatest upgrade at the quarterback position so far? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, our phone number, unless you're calling to tell me who's going to win the Super Bowl next February. The phone number. Well, see, then I didn't want to give you the phone number because I was worried we'd be flooded with those kind of calls. It's 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. Coming up before the end of the hour, you do not want to miss a snippet of my conversation with former Packers executive, former agent, and he's still a media guy, but he's a business and sports guy. He's a professor now. Andrew Brandt was the man on the phone with Aaron Rodgers in 2005 when the Packers were trying to decide whether or not to draft him at number 24 overall. The story that he told us earlier in the show about what happened, what was going on behind the scenes with Aaron Rodgers on the phone, priceless. I know many of you remember Rodgers being in the green room and the time ticking and the picks going by and nobody's drafting him and he's falling like a rock. But you've never heard the Packers side of this. This is an amazing story. It'll set you up perfectly for draft night. And so Andrew Brandt, little part of that conversation coming up. 855-212-4227. Again, on Twitter and Facebook, we'll get to your quarterback reactions. Pete Carroll, John Schneider, they'd been silentia, until Wednesday. To me, that was all you needed to know about whether or not they were trading Russell Wilson. So let's start there. There's a lot that we got from Pete Carroll. He's a great talker. I'm glad we finally got to hear from him. But let's start with this idea of Russ getting shipped to another team.
Russ has been our quarterback for a good while, and we've got a long contract with him. And when all of the conversation went about trades and all that, I knew what the truth was. We weren't trading Russell. And so, So we plan on him being here for a good while. I don't know how many years it is now, but we're in great shape and a long future ahead of us is shared. Russ knows that, and I know that, and we're very clear about it. It's why it was really obvious that we just had to sit back and let the media take its course with the topic, and so we did. And so we're in good shape and both very clear about that.
There was a number of teams that called after that media blitz that happened, right? But no, I never actively negotiated with anybody and with any team. Now, did people call? Absolutely. And I'm not going to get into specific teams, but there was never ever a conversation. You know, people think that trade talks happen, you know, like, hey, you just start negotiating right away. There's a lot of calls that are very, very periphery calls. And unless, you know, you're dealing with, like, trading a seventh-round player or a seventh-round pick for a player that may be getting cut that's going to be in the wire or something like that. And, you know, those happen very quickly. But, there was no active negotiations going on.
So, in other words, the report that you heard about how the Bears offered 3 first-round picks for Russell Wilson and Seattle was about to make the trade but then slept on it, woke up the next day and thought, nah, that wasn't true. If there were no active negotiations, that never happened. So I suppose you can call John Schneider a liar, but I'm telling you, they were never trading Russ. Because what would they do? What would they do in the wake of Russ? In the wake of Wilson? So it's another cautionary tale. Do not believe even half of what you hear this time of the year. Ahem. Those of you who believe the Patriots are about to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. While it might be true, it could happen. You always have to think about the team that could be trading him. It's not just about the team that could be acquiring a quarterback. The team that would trade him away, well, they got to have a plan too. The Niners don't want a rookie starter. Not right now. I'd be stunned. I mean, literally, I would be blown away. Could knock me over just by a... That would be crazy. Because I feel like the Niners would be upgrading another team at their own expense, to their own detriment. So Pete Carroll, John Schneider, Russ was never being traded. We never actively shopped Russell Wilson. There were never any active negotiations. But they did talk. Pete Carroll admits that they did actually talk about everything that had transpired and about Russ airing his concerns about the team.
We addressed all of it immediately, and he knows exactly where I was coming from. And I told him early on, you know, that this could be really, you know, a long issue that we're dealing with in the media, and I wasn't going to say a word because I knew what the truth was. And we had communicated clearly. I knew right where Russ was coming from. And unfortunately for the people who were following it from the, you know, reading the articles and whatever the, you know, the people were saying, you didn't have the benefit of what I knew and what Russ knew. And so I've never have played to those kinds of situations and tried to, you know, smooth them out or deal with them or whatever. Just as long as I know the truth, I have the power to know that. And I felt fine about it. I just knew it was uncomfortable. Well, he wasn't any more frustrated than I was. You know, I know that. Well, after watching the Super Bowl, you know, I know he was asked the questions and he responded that, you know, he's frustrated. Well, that's we all are. You know, when we don't win the last game of the year, particularly when we were at home and positioned in the playoffs and had a chance, we felt like we had a really good opportunity being health in our favor as well. It was hard. And so that I think that's a pretty normal reaction to be frustrated.
Agreed. Now, is it a normal reaction to go on a radio show and point to your offensive lineman? I'm tired of getting hit. I think I should have some say in personnel decisions. Well, maybe Russ was feeling himself a little bit because he was upset, he was disappointed, and because he's been in the league now for a decade. But that doesn't mean the Seahawks were going to trade him. If you don't know this by now, in Seattle, it's Pete Carroll's way or the highway. He's a big-time cheerleader. Yes, he's very enthusiastic. He wants these guys to be themselves. But if you don't fall in line with the way they do things there, the Seahawk way, so to speak, you're out. So Russ can say what he likes, and they can have these conversations, but the Seahawks were not trading him. However, it does not stop the questions. Same thing in Green Bay. Oh my gosh, even the Pittsburgh Steelers are getting asked about drafting a quarterback because everyone else is doing it. The Falcons might be doing it. Everybody's doing it. We're going to see how many of those early picks are quarterback picks. In a few hours, finally, we're going to get the answers to the questions that have been dangling out there now for months. Also, a couple more teams punching their tickets to the NBA playoffs. And I can't wait to share part of this conversation with Andrew Brandt, where I ask him to tell the story of Aaron Rodgers on draft night 2005. It's fascinating. I've never heard these details before, and I've known Andrew for years. We worked together at our previous network. So that's coming up as well.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Get it up to Chris Paul. Paul inside. Paul's shot. Good. Chris Paul going to work. 97-92. Paul with a big hoop. Paul on the drive. Reverse layup. Good. Oh, brother. And it's 99-92. Suns timeout on the floor. Paul on the drive. 16-footer straight away. Good. Oh, key hoop. Chris Paul with 22. 101-94. The Suns lead it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
key battle with the Clippers last night, and just when the Suns allow their lead to dwindle down to a single point, enter stage left. Chris Paul, there was three consecutive buckets. One of them may have been a three, but you hear those critical moments with Al McCoy on the Nuggets radio network. And so he rattles off three straight buckets. And as the Suns hold off the Clippers, they clinch their first playoff spot in 11 years. Love, love, love the fresh blood. We've got it in hockey. We've got it in hoops. We had it in football. It's good to see some different teams, some new teams. And for the Phoenix Suns, while they're not locked into that number two spot, we're not talking about 7-10 play-in tournament in a bubble here. We're talking about one of the top spots in the West. So Jazz and Suns are the first two teams in the Wild Wild West to clinch playoff berths. The 76ers take care of business. So last night, a blowout win against Atlanta, who right now is sitting five in the East. But the Sixers clinch a playoff spot as well to go along with Brooklyn. And then there were four. But obviously a banner moment for Monty Williams and the Suns after 11 years watching the postseason from home.
I had no idea that, you know, we get here this quickly. And so I just want to give praise to God for what he's been able to do through our program with all of our guys in a short period of time. And I'm cognizant that it has been relatively quick for us to get here. And he's done so many amazing things in our program. And our players, you know, they've worked their tails off. They've done everything I've asked them to do. And I'm just happy for them. And it'll sink in maybe later on tonight or tomorrow. But I just have a lot of gratitude in my heart.
Congratulations to Coach Williams and the Phoenix Suns. And we've been waiting for this since they went 8-0 in the bubble last year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Lakers continue to spin their wheels even with Anthony Davis back. They're not the same team, obvi, without LeBron. He had 26 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks, speaking of AD, in their game against the Wizards. But they still don't have enough because That's because I've been talking about Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited, for a good chunk of the show tonight. I mean, he does play basketball, baseball, whatever. He's a great athlete. But the other Russell Westbrook, too much every night, it seems like these days, for the Wizards. Another triple-double, 18 points, 18 rebounds to go along with 14 assists and 2 steals. And I know a lot of people always look at his turnover numbers, just a couple of giveaways in last night's victory against the Lakers. And so Westbrook, he continues this triple-double tear. And between him and Bradley Beal, the Wizards are, I mean, whatever, they're scuffling in the Eastern Conference, but he still puts on a show and he still is worth the price of admission. And of course, with all these triple doubles, we know how often his name is mentioned alongside the big O, the great Oscar Robertson.
I don't take this game for granted. I don't take the opportunity to be able to play for granted. And when I get on the floor, I give everything I have until I don't have nothing left in the tank. And, you know, just being in a conversation with guys like Oscar is a blessing in itself, man. I'm just super honored to be able to have something like that in reach.
Westbrook now has 30 triple-doubles for the season, 176 of them for his career, which puts him just 5 shy of Oscar Robertson's career mark. And so you're going to hear those two names mentioned even more and more together as Russ is likely. I mean, if you look at the number of games they have left now, they're sitting on 62 games. So they have 10 games to go. Can he get 5, maybe 6 more triple doubles in 10 games? He can. You wonder, with the Wizards being where they are in the East right now, they're at number 10, right? So they've won 9 of their last 10. It's been a big push for them. They're trying to hold off the Chicago Bulls, the Toronto Raptors, who are a couple games behind them, maybe move up. The goal is not going to be individual stats. It's going to be to win as much as possible. Now, Russ and Bradley Beal, the 1-2 punch, give them the best chance to win, but you don't want the focus to be on Russ and filling up a stat sheet, because that obviously derails the team idea of, hey, we need to feed the hot hand and we need to have best option available all the time if we're going to make the postseason. But still, pretty amazing. Russell Westbrook continuing to tear it up and to fill up a stat sheet with the Wizards. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Oh, my goodness. I can't talk right now. Something's happening to me. It's called final hour of the show, long week. It's been a good week, but it's been a long week. This weekend, oh, who doesn't want to talk about the weekend? The PGA Tour makes its next stop on CBS, where some of golf's best, including the top-ranked player in the world, Dustin Johnson, along with Justin Thomas and Brooks Koepka, and who did I tell you about on last night's show? Michael Vasicki. Into the PGA Tour, an event for the first time in 7 years, 7 years of qualifying, and he's gone viral because of the phone call with his dad and how emotional he was. I made it, and he breaks down in tears after qualifying on Monday. So I'm excited to see him in his first ever PGA event. But they will all step on the course at the Valspar Championship. The live coverage begins Saturday and Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern. That's noon Pacific, only on CBS. Coming up, the story of Aaron Rodgers getting drafted 2005. We know it was dramatic because he fell all the way to number 24, but we talked to the guy who was on the phone with him as the minutes were ticking off the clock and the Packers were waiting for a trade offer to come in. I'm telling you, this is one hell of a story. So you hear that straight ahead. Plus, Kevin Colbert, because everybody's doing it. Also talking about drafting a quarterback. I mean, why don't we just draft 32 quarterbacks in the first round on Thursday night? It'd be great.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
If you look at our current depth, obviously we have four NFL veteran quarterbacks on our roster, which I feel great about. So it's an unusual group in that we do have four. Can you add a young one? Absolutely. We always have to be on the look for that next guy and value, or try to predict the value of taking that player at that position, because most likely a young quarterback won't play for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2021. Again, we got four veteran guys that we're going to try to sort through. Could you add someone that could be more guaranteed to be here for the future? Absolutely.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
In other words, Pittsburgh general manager Kevin Colbert is telling you the more the merrier. The more quarterbacks, the merrier. Except if you have five quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. And that's roster spots that are taken up by guys that you could be using to build depth or give you insurance at other positions, help you upgrade other positions. So, yes, everyone is doing it these days. Why not pick a quarterback? Ben Roethlisberger, Mason Rudolph, Josh Dobbs, and Dwayne Haskins. Those are the four quarterbacks that Colbert mentions as he talks about how we might draft yet another. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, we know the Atlanta Falcons are sitting in the catbird seat. They've got the number four pick coming up in tonight's draft, and there's been talk that they may make trades to try to make room under their salary cap, potentially Julio Jones on the move, though not yet. I hope that's not the case. And what will they do with that number four pick? Here's their GM, Terry Fontenot.
I think when you're picking at four, we're trying to take an impact player, whether it's a player that's going to sit or a player that's going to play right away. We want to bring in an impact player that fits the culture, that has the right makeup, and we have a clear vision for that player. So whether it's someone that's going to sit or whether it's someone that's going to play day one, we have to have a clear vision, and we have to feel really good about not only the player and the skill set, but also the person that we're bringing into this building. And that's when you talk about any draft pick, really.
they're going to have options. And that's where we pick up my conversation with former Packers exec, former agent, member of the media, sports business podcast, Andrew Brandt. And I asked him about the Falcons because they've been talking about keeping their options open. But does that mean they have a variety of scenarios as we kick off tonight?
I mean, a lot of this is BS, right? There's no reason for teams, and I went through this for years, to let people know what they're thinking. I mean, there's no advantage for teams to be transparent here. It's a highly competitive industry. Everybody's watching everybody else. One move by a team to let other teams know what they're doing could result in some advantages for other teams. The decision for the Falcons, to me, is all about quarterback versus non-quarterback. And it's one of those situations somewhat like we had when we took Aaron Rodgers, when we had a durable and Hall of Fame quarterback. It was a pick for the future, as they did last year in Green Bay. But this is a little different because the Ryan's got such a terrible cap figure the next 2 years, not just one, two. It can be hard to replace him. So, yeah, I mean, there can be a decision, hey, we'll just take a quarterback to prepare for the future. But my sense is Atlanta will go for a non-quarterback.
Your pictures, your memories of this time, 2005, when Aaron Rodgers did fall to the Packers as the 24th overall pick after Alex Smith, who just retired, was selected number one overall by the Niners. And I would love to hear a couple of your reflections, what you remember about that night and that particular draft as it kind of fell in Green Bay's lap.
It was a poignant night, certainly my most memorable time in the draft room those 10 years, where two things happened that night, Amy. Number one, we had about 20 players rated first-round grades, and we were picking 24, and 19 of those 20 were gone after picks 19, 20, 21. They were gone. So the second thing that happened was the one name that's remaining on our board above the first-round grade is a quarterback, and his name's Aaron Rodgers, and no one's taking him, including teams that told him, I found out later, to his face, if you're there, we'll take you.
Wow.
Like John Gruden, who took Cadillac Williams. So this happened. So now we have this combustible moment where the coaches are very, very much saying, no way in hell can we do this. We can't take a player that's not going to help us, because coaches are judged on immediate results. And first-round pick that won't help you for one, two, three, who knows how many years is not something they want. And then on the personnel side, it was all about, hey, what do we always say? Trust the board. And yes, the player's not going to help us, but let's do this. So I got him on the phone. I held him there 13 minutes. It was 15 minutes back then, the poor guy.
Whoa.
And we waited to see, let's just see if that phone rings. It's two number twos, whatever. And I tell you, Amy, that phone never rang. And I think about watching the NFL all the time, like, what if that phone rang? I mean, that the NFL would look a lot different. And no one wanted Aaron Rodgers. So it was the next few moments I'll never forget, even more than the lead up, because we make the pick. We have a Lambeau Field draft party, 1,000 people below us, right below us. And that booing shook our souls.
What?
It shook our core. It was 1,000 people vociferously booing to the point we thought something happened. Like, and then we realized, oh, it's about our pick. And like, oh, my God. And, of course, Brett was unhappy and Brett's agent's unhappy. And Aaron, you know, put on a good face. But why would he be happy going to a cold place where he's not going to play? And it never really was something anyone sort of said to us, hey, that's a great pick. You know, it's like we endured for 3 years. Brett's like, why am I coming in the office every day and sitting next to my replacement? And Aaron's like, when am I ever going to play? And people don't realize this. When you make a selection like this, there's consequences. And you have to manage the situation. And a lot of that got left to me, which is fine, but you just try to be professional and you say to Aaron, I don't know when you're going to play. You say to Brett, I don't know when you're not going to play. And you just try to hold on.
What was Aaron's reaction on the phone as those moments are ticking down and as you finally make the pick?
I mean, the stories I heard from him and his agent about that green room, I mean, the caterers are standing by there, tapping their feet with their arms crossed.
No.
Like, when are you going to leave? You know, we want to go home to our families. And he's the only one there. They've stacked the tables. They've got the chairs moved out to another room. He's in this little corner, and the waiters and waitresses are just looking at their watch, like, when will you leave? And I just felt for the guy. I'm sure he's happy he finally got picked. But, I mean, he came in the next day, and he was in good spirits. And right away, I saw that wry sense of humor he's had all along. And, you know, I say this. 5 days later, we had the rookie minicamp. And, oh, my God, you know, his first pass, he's moving to one side and throws 60 yards the other side to Donald Driver running down the field in a rope. And Ted Thompson's eyes locked mine, and we said, oh, my God, we got the guy.
There will be no more booing after this.
Yeah.
Andrew Brand is a former Packers executive. Man, what a story. The details that you never hear behind the scenes. Aaron Rodgers in the green room. Now, that was 2005, Andrew. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. When you think about what's transpired over the past 14 months, many sports leagues are dealing with a downturn in business. They're dealing with losses because of no fans in the stands or limited fans in the stands. We saw the NFL navigate the full season. Now, of course, the new business contracts. But even so, it's difficult for some GMs to figure out how to get underneath their salary cap. So you just mentioned a couple of teams that are kind of in that situation. How would you describe business right now for the league overall?
The TV deals really dominate my thoughts there, because you can talk about downturns in performance. You can talk about the pandemic. You can talk about whatever was happening with player activism. It's amazing what they did. They basically doubled their deals with ESPN, with Fox, with CBS, with NBC,
wow,
and adding Amazon. So think about that, doubling your deals in this marketplace, in this economy. So it's all been reported, over $100 billion of new television deals over the next decade. It's going to come out to about $300 million per team each year. Now think about that. The salary cap is not even going to get up to $200 million next year. And we're going to see a $300 million per year payout from media alone to teams. It's just extraordinary.
We obviously knew the 17-game season was coming, and I think back to the CBA that was ratified by the two sides. Mm-hmm. Very close players' vote. I guess it was late last winter, in which it was just a few hundred votes. When you think about that and the fact that there are a lot of people who, players, I mean, who are not thrilled with the expanded season and some of the moves the NFL is making for the bottom line, are the two sides in a good place? Roger Goodell, D'Amore Smith, and everybody that lines up behind them?
A year ago, I was critical of that deal. I just thought that the players gave up too much for the precious inventory of a 17th game. I still think that. Now, I know everyone can just say, well, it's more money, so the players get their share. But their share is going to be 47-48%, when back in the day it was 50%. And now, you know, that's 2 percentage points is worth billions of dollars. Just seems to me that the owners are always in a good spot when it comes to collective bargaining. And here's what they got. They got two things they needed to go to the networks. They got labor peace for a decade, and they got a 17th game. And armed with those two things, they went and got their billions of dollars from the networks. And I just think the players sometimes don't realize the power they have. People sort of say, well, you know, they'll never strike and they'll never sit out and all that, but they have power.
Andrew Brandt, former Packers executive, was on the phone with Aaron Rodgers in 2005. What a story that I'd never heard before. But also the Business of Sports podcast, and that's his area of expertise, and kind of giving you a peek behind the curtain and why the NFL is in such a good spot and why the players continually, they cave because they don't realize how much power they have, or maybe they don't think that they have the leverage that they do. The rest of that conversation also really good, so check it out on the podcast After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. If you missed John Heyman, MLB Network and CBS Sports Radio Baseball Insider, he joined us last hour. That's also part of our podcast. People always ask, is it the entire show? Well, yes. Yes, it is. Podcasted every weekday morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks for finding us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Lots of responses to our questions. So, producer Dave, I think the majority, though it's probably not a huge majority, but the majority of people are saying that it's the Rams who've upgraded because of Matthew Stafford and the tools that he brings to the table combined with the Sean McVay offense. I've also seen the opposite, that it's the Lions. Some are saying it's Sam Darnold with the Panthers because of the tools and now has a coach he can work with. I'm going with Washington. I got to tell you, I think as much as Ryan Fitzpatrick is a stopgap and he's a bridge, that guy brings every ounce of intelligence and intensity he has to every game. And guys follow him. They want to play for him. And so when you consider where they are sitting as NFC East champs, the revolving door of quarterbacks last year, I'm saying Washington with Ryan Fitzpatrick has made the greatest upgrade to date. What about you?
As much as I enjoy that beard, I think the key word is upgrade. And when you're upgrading from the likes of Minshew or Glennon or Jake Luton, if you will, to Trevor Lawrence, can't go wrong.
Okay, but there's no such thing as a can't-miss prospect. I know he's pretty close, but you don't even need to see him play one game?
No, I'm good.
So Jaguars or Washington, we don't know what the Broncos are doing. Some are saying they could actually draft another quarterback. What? At number 9. All of our questions will be answered by the time we reconvene. I'm really looking forward to it. We will have the analysis with a longtime NFL coach, plus OU Oklahoma Athletic Director Joe Castiglione on the next edition of After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.